Hello, wine aficionados. Thanks for joining me as we venture out on the wine road. On today's podcast, I'm going to reach back to early October and the Sonoma County wildfires. It's still an unhealed scar for many, but I thought it was behind us enough in time that I could bring you the story of Paradise Ridge Winery, one of the handful of wineries that succumbed to the fires in Sonoma County and Napa Valley. Needless to say, all of the devastation was heartbreaking. But not only do I know Renee and his father, Walter Bick, they've both been on my show before, and I've seen them at the winery numerous times. I also run into Renee at various events, including just the day before the fires, when I saw him at the Harvest Fair the Saturday night prior. I reached out to Renee a couple of times the days and weeks following the fire, but understandably, he was pulled in many directions. We finally hooked up 3 weeks ago, and remarkably, they had yet to begin cleaning up their burned winemaking facility and tasting room, which were in two different locations on the property. If you've been there before, you know they have a large collection of art structures and sculptures scattered throughout. I feared they lost many of those irreplaceable items as well. Miraculously, they hadn't. Just one that was in front of the winemaking building. And that's where Renee and I talked, in front of the scorched steel tanks, burned barrels, disfigured racks, and the rest that was unrecognizable. You can find photos on my website, onthewineroad.com. As you'll hear, Renee is a pragmatic guy, and talking with him prior, I knew he was handling it fairly well, not surprisingly. I started by asking, when did you first find out the winery was on fire?
Well, we didn't know that winery burned until Monday morning, but by midnight or 1 o'clock on, if you want to call it the 8th or the 9th, our production manager and an employee, we were communicating with them, and they were near the winery, and there was fires on our property. So we were aware there's fires, but we weren't aware that everything was destroyed. We didn't have a lot of hope. We had some hope.
Yeah.
And those were dashed the next day when I came up here and took a look. And
what time was that?
I'd say it was around 1 o'clock. You know, it's kind of hard to get around all the roadblocks.
It must have still been kind of burning a little bit.
It was burning and smoldering, and you know, it was disappointing. But what do you do? I mean, there was so much going on there. And there was, so, you know, I think I was probably in shock.
Probably
in shock. But it was just confirmation that it burned, and we let the family know.
My second thought was all of the sculptures, the sculpture garden and all the artwork you have outside here amongst the trees and the vineyards. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, I hope they didn't lose some of that.
There was some silver linings in the fire. And one of the biggest ones was that, like, almost every single sculpture was undamaged. There was a couple that had minor damage, but none of them were destroyed. And it kind of, you know, gives us some hope. And we have a love sculpture here on the property that ended up becoming a symbol of resilience for some people, which was nice to have.
And ironically, a lot of these sculptures are from Burning Man, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So we do have pieces that were at Burning Man, and well, they didn't burn.
I'm happy to hear your earlier vintages, if I'm not mistaken, also survived, right? You stored those elsewhere?
Yeah, we lost, our biggest loss was the Rock Pile Cab. We had two vintages, but most of our 16 wines were in bottle and moved off-site to a warehouse. So we lost pretty much the entire 17 vintage. Luckily, our winemaker, Dan Barwick, kind of was springing into action, and we actually were harvesting on October 10th up in Rock Pile, and we got some Grenache Blanc Grenache, and we plan to have that for sale this year.
One of my favorite wine regions, too, from Rock Pile.
Yeah. You know, we didn't lose all our wines. A lot of the vineyards seem to have survived. I want to say probably around 90% of the vineyards survive. We do have a taste room in Sonoma Valley in Kenwood that's open for business that also survived, even though the fires were within 100 meters of that building. That survived. So people can still visit us, taste our wines, and we're hoping that once we get the debris removed here off the property, we make it safe that people can come up and enjoy the sculptures and see kind of the property.
Oh, yeah.
And then we hope to offer some type of tasting experiences up here on the property sometime this summer, probably be by appointment only.
Right.
And probably ask our wine club if they're interested first before the public, but we'll see how it all goes.
Well,
I'll keep you informed.
That's a great idea, because it's quite a walk to wander around and look at all the sculptures.
Yeah, it is. The sculptures, you know, I think, you know, this has given us an opportunity to reflect on how to maybe to make things better. And maybe we will have wine and sculpture tours in the future and probably be a little bit more intimate. The sculpture garden will always be open for free to the public because that's something that the family and my parents always wanted to have happen. But I think things will change a little bit, but the views, the art, you know, our Wines and Sunsets events, doing events here on the property will continue. It just might be summer, late summer of 2019 when that can happen. It's a little ways away.
It is. Well, we're standing here and nothing has been removed from the property yet. I mean, looking at the burned winery facility here, and it's going to be quite a while to clear all this out and get rebuilding.
Huh? Yeah, I think we, you know, this first part's been very frustrating, I want to say, and just that, like, things are moving slowly, but we're really hoping. Actually, when I was driving up here, I reached out to the debris removal people, and once we get one more bid, we'll be able to make a decision on that, and we're very close to hiring an architect and a contractor. And once those all start getting going, then it'll feel like we're kind of moving forward. But right now, it's been kind of dredging, and, you know,
you're in the doldrums, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. And unfortunately, you know, we probably have some insurance issues on the buildings that we want to work through, and it's kind of hampering, you know, our desires of what we want to rebuild, and that's taking a little while to sort through. But I think in the end, you know, the end result will be we'll have a new event center and tasting room, and that people will be able to enjoy the winery, the art, and the views, and everything they were able to enjoy before. We did secure an off-site facility to make our wine, so we are making some wines from the 2017 vintage, and we're anticipating a fairly normal harvest in 2018. So are all good things.
Right.
I'm talking with Renee Bick of Paradise Ridge Winery. The place was a favorite among many Santa Rosans and visitors to the area, so I asked Renee if they're planning on keeping the same design or something similar to what they had before.
I think we're going to try to keep the same kind of footprint. You know, that's a way to get it done fairly quickly. I do believe there will be some changes. You know, we might not have as many wood decks anymore. We'll probably have something different
than
wood. You said
that kind of helped fan the flames up above.
It probably did. You know, that was one of the hopes, is that, you know, we're surrounded by vineyards, and we were hoping that the vineyards would have helped the building survive, but that night, you were around. It was crazy. I mean, the winds were crazy, and fires were happening. I mean, I think at 2 or 3 in the morning, there's like 15 fires all over Sonoma Valley and Santa Rosa, and, you know, it was crazy. So we'll rebuild and we'll make it better, but it'll feel like home for people who visited. I think it'll have a similar feel. We're not going to change a lot. But we will change some stuff to, you know, our bridal dressing room will be a little bigger now. And we might have less. Okay. The offices might be not in a storage closet and in proper space. And so there's some things.
Positive changes are coming.
Some things that we can improve on. But I think the footprint and the general feel of the winery will be pretty similar.
As it was before. I mean, it was one of the most popular spots for weddings and just people coming out for the end of the afternoon, and the sunset from up here was just spectacular. And you've gotten so many accolades over the years on just what a wonderful space it was.
Yeah, no, it's true, and we do plan to rebuild, and hopefully it's a little better. It's funny, I was getting interviewed, I think, on the Tuesday after the fire, and we were supposed to be accepting some awards from I think the Press Democrat for best wedding venue, best wine country event for our Wines and Sunsets, best Pinot, and that was all happening on the Tuesday after the fire. And it's just kind of weird thinking, like, oh wow, that was supposed to be happening today, when you're looking at something that's not really there anymore.
Come up for a photo op and give me the award.
That's right. Well, we're still going to lobby to win some of those awards. So please vote for our wines for sure. And that when we come back, the wedding venue and our events, you know, we plan to come back and do, you know, if we can do a better job, we do a better job. We don't want to change too much, but we do want to make it, you know, it'd be nice to make it better.
Tell me you didn't lose your house.
I did not lose my house. Wow. So a lot of, you know, the fires were going crazy that night. It didn't seem, from what I can tell on my phone and text, that coming to try to change anything that was happening up here, and I live, you know, the fire got within a half mile of my house. So it was like, you know, first it was tons of smoke, and then it was the glow, and then it was the flames, and then you're looking at burning houses, and then it's like, we're packing. And, you know, I evacuated to Bennett Valley, and then I ended up evacuating from my dad's house back to our house, which seemed like a safer place. And, you know, it was just a kind of a crazy night. But my concern was I got three young kids and a wife and a house, and that's what I was kind of more concerned about than the winery at that time.
And how is your dad? He's getting up there in age, but he's feisty fella, and
well, he's 85, and he, if anyone knows him, he likes his projects. He likes building. He likes creating things. That's where a lot of the sculptures up here on the property came from. So there was also a gallery or a shed here on the property that survived by the Love sculpture that we're hoping to maybe turn into a temporary tasting space sometime this summer. And so he's got some projects that he gets to work on that he's excited about. But, you know, he also realizes he's 85 and he kind of wants to get this thing done and completed, because right. He wants to be able to enjoy it all.
Well, lucky him too, because the fact that these sculptures didn't burn, and that was such a passion for him. And one of my favorite experiences up here was him walking me around and showing me everything, where we drove around much of it because it is kind of spread out, but I really enjoyed watching his enthusiasm about it.
Yeah, no, it's you know, we work with the Voigt Sculpture Foundation. They've been very helpful, and it's one of the silver linings is that the art did survive, and a lot of the trees, I want to say, you know, survive. We definitely lost trees, but the views, the nature, the art, the vineyards, all of that are pretty much intact. We lost a bunch of stuff, and we feel like we could replace it. I mean, one of the hardest things, losses that we actually suffered, was we had this wonderful Nagasawa historical exhibit about the first Japanese winemaker who made wine at the Fountain Grove Winery. And those had pieces and relics in there of his life and times that are irreplaceable. So we do plan to rebuild the exhibit in honor of him and his times up here in Fountain Grove and the Japanese Asian influence in the wine industry. So that's kind of going to be something that's a little harder to replace, but the tanks, the barrels, the wine will get wine next year, or this year now, I guess. And, you know, so we feel like we could replace a lot of the stuff we lost. You know, obviously I had memories here with my mom, our kids stomping grapes, but we'll be able to do that again. So, right. So you know, the neighborhood was devastated. I mean, just across the way, every home was destroyed. I mean, those people, we had two employees who lost their homes, and they basically lost everything that was home to them, pictures of their parents that they can't get back, pictures of their kids they can't get back, you know, everything, you know. So our community and the neighborhood were destroyed, and those people, you know, they suffered a lot. And if you ask me, and our family has suffered more than we have, and we could rebuild this and it could feel fairly normal in a couple of years, but those people's lives are changed forever, I want to say.
Yeah, and the time's going to go by slow initially, but when things are completed and people are back to work, it'll be hopefully a distant memory.
Yeah. I want to say that. I want to say our winery will be up and running and feel like a normal place sooner than the neighborhood and the community. But hopefully, you know, we'll be a symbol of we're back open for business. And, you know, and I think that's something that people here in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County want people to not stay away, and they want to visit us. We want
and
you to visit
going
us.
On currently.
Yeah, we want visitors. We want people to buy our product, because that's how you can support us, you know, in the best way, is to not have tourism decrease and to still eat out and stay in the hotels and visit the wineries and the breweries and the cheese people and the spirits people and all the stuff that people love Sonoma County for. You know, our winery's lost, but there's probably, you know, better 500 wineries in Sonoma County, and maybe seven or eight
I think
were suffered.
Closer to seven, yeah.
So, you know, 99% of wineries are still open. Most businesses are still open, and the scenery and the coast and the redwood trees and a lot of Santa Rosa, most of Santa Rosa is still standing. So that's something that I think the farther you get away from Santa Rosa, the more people think that Santa Rosa has been destroyed. And that's something that we want to keep the message out there that, no, we're here and we could use your support.
Right. And as you mentioned, thankfully, your other tasting room in Kenwood is open and selling wine, and you have some great experiences there, especially your food experiences.
Yeah, no, we have that herb and sensory garden experience, chocolate-infused herb experience, and those our staff there, you know, we had to bulk up the staff there because we have actually a lot of people want to support us, and they've come visited and bought wine, but they also have stories to tell about their experiences here on the estate, or maybe family or friends that were affected by the fire. So our staff ended up kind of, you know, they're kind of consoling a lot of people who were coming in who were feeling so sad for the winery or the community. And it was just kind of this weird balance of like, we suffered the loss, but we're going to, you know, comfort you because you feel so bad about our losses, you know, but that was fine. And we made sure, you know, one of the things we've been trying to do is take care of our staff, try to keep our employees employed.
I was wondering about how they're doing.
The staff's doing okay. You know, there's certain positions that are difficult to hold on to, like our state tasting room manager here on the property. There's no place to taste for a few years, or our event manager. You know, those are difficult things that we're trying to make it as easy as possible for the people who are affected. But we're trying to keep everything in-house, trying to keep our staff busy. It gives us more opportunity to reach out to our customers and really solidify our relationship with our club members, and reach out to all the people who showed a lot of support and sympathy during the fires, and make sure that they know that they were heard and it helped us.
It'll be beneficial to get the summer tasting going out here. As you mentioned, that might be a nice way to keep some of your people busy and get the people back out here on the property.
Yeah, no, you know, my dad has hopes that we can do some Wines and Sunsets events up here. We can't obviously do it where we did it before, but there are some kind of plans getting, you know, thought about, you know, having some events possibly up here this summer.
Sculpture courtyard you have up there by the tasting room, maybe out there?
Yeah, well, there's different opportunities, but then, you know, that kicks into working with the county and making sure we're permitted and it's zoned right.
Oh, they'll turn their heads.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know,
No, actually, a couple of the supervisors have reached out to us personally. They're really interested in helping us make sure that our recovery is as seamless and smooth as it can be. And I'm going to be calling them to take them up on that offer, because we're probably going to need it, because a tentative timeline would be about 18 months from now opening up, which is, you're looking at August of 2019. And if we could do that, I think we'd be happy. So we'll see. But it seems like there's a lot of people who want to help us with the rebuild. You know, one of the other things that we never thought about before the fires is all these articles of we're a landmark and a pillar in the community or whatever. And we never thought of what we were doing as that exactly. We were just doing what we felt was right, and you know, sharing the artwork and sharing the views and the wine, and then to hear all the stories about, you know, families coming up here every year and taking their pictures, holiday pictures here, spending time, loved ones lost that they use our temple of remembrance for. And it's just kind of a gathering spot, and you just start hearing all these stories, and then I was like, wow, that was not something that we really realized. So now I feel like, you know, it's kind of our duty to kind of come back and be better and stronger and be around for a while.
Yeah, Paradise Ridge offered a lot more than just wine and pizza nights. The winery meant something to a lot of people. And if you search Google Images for Paradise Ridge Winery, you'd find quite a collection of photos that people have taken over the years on their beautiful property. As I talked with Renee Bick about the family's winery and their plans for the future, I asked what has been keeping them busy these days.
Well, unfortunately, right now I'm dealing with insurance a little bit. You know, we did lose some data. We've replaced that, but insurance contractors, hopefully not too much with attorneys, but we're talking to attorneys, our insurance company. We're still running a business, you know, even though our business was damaged, you know, we still have our wine club. We still have a tasting room to run. We still have some wholesale accounts where you can buy our wines outside and then the rebuild. So, you know, not only did we lose these two buildings on the property, there was three homes that were lost that all had tenants in them and four other buildings. So it was quite a loss up here, but I'm keeping busy with everything. And then also, you know, you got to try to find some time, you know, for yourself. Take a couple breath. I mean, both my sister and I run the day-to-day operations of the winery. You know, we were part-time. We were like, you know, 30 hours a week. And now it's been like 50 or 60 hours a week since everything happened. But, you know, I think it'll slow down once we get the debris removed, the architect and the contractor lined up, then it'll feel like we're on the road to recovery. Right now, I feel like, you know, until this debris removes, it's just an eyesore. Yeah. You know,
well, what's comforting now is that aside from the couple of structures that are destroyed and some blackened trees, I mean, it's actually pretty green up here, and it still looks like a park.
Yeah, the rains that happened, I want to say about a few weeks after the fires happened, really helped. Really helped make things look less moonscapey, I want to say. Yeah. But I think it's 75 to 80% of the trees survived. And there's, you know, and the fire happened. It's made a big mess. We're gonna have to rebuild, and we're just gonna look forward to the future and how we can make people's experiences up here on the property better, how we can, you know, really cater to our customers and make sure that people enjoy the property, which is really what my parents intended when they bought it and started putting stuff on it and building a winery. Is they wanted people to enjoy the nature and the beauty and the art and all of that and the wine. Yeah. You know,
well, I got to tell you, when I first heard the news, I was heartbroken and I felt like I got kicked in the gut when I heard about your winery. And because I, you know, you and I run into each other quite a bit, and I've really come to appreciate what you're doing and who you are and love your wine. And man, it was just, that was probably the hardest part about the whole thing. For me, anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I you know, my mom died about 12 years ago, and that was way more devastating than this. So, in my perspective, it's a burned building, and when my mom died, it was way more traumatic for me. But we've had a lot of people who have the same feeling, and people who got married the day before the fires here. We've had brides from 15 or 20 years ago, and they're pretty torn up, and that's why it's not really our responsibility, I want to say, but we want to rebuild, and because it's what we've done and what we want to continue to do, and we love to hear those stories, and it makes us feel better. It gives us kind of, you know, more, you know, I don't even know what the right word is, but it gives us kind of motivation to keep moving forward and keep pushing and try to rebuild quickly and try to be back in as part of the community, places people can enjoy, you know. Whatever.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think it looked like your pizza oven survived.
The pizza oven survived, and there's the gallery and a pavilion here on the property. There's a tennis court that maybe will turn into a terrace where we can have some wines and sunsets. So, you know, we got the cogs turning and the ideas coming about. And
well, keep me abreast of the movements and the forward progression, and I will certainly get the word out.
I will. I'll let you know when things are happening, and we're kind of excited about, you know, the prospects of new buildings and things being better, and not excited about how long it's going to take, and that I'm sure it's not going to be this, like, you know, off into the sunset rosy cruise. It's going to be a lot of work and probably frustrations along the way, but
someday we'll cheers with a
glass. That's right. Well, hopefully in August 2019, we'll be up there and we'll be cheersing with some bubbles and celebrating the reopening.
Renee Bick of Paradise Ridge Winery. He and his family are good people, and I'm sure you join me in wishing them a smooth and speedy conclusion to this horrible situation they found themselves in. Keep in mind, as mentioned earlier, the Paradise Ridge Kenwood Tasting Room is open for business. Swing in and support the family and the employees with a tasting and bottle purchases if you're happy with the wine. I'm sure you will be. It's on Highway 12 on the west end of Kenwood. Thanks to Renee for his time. And remember, you can see some of the photographs taken that day on my website, onthewineroad.com. Their website is prwinery.com. You'll see a message from the crew and some nice photos there, too. I'm Jeff Davis. Thanks for joining me on The Wine Road.